The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Please take a seat. Well, last Sunday of 2015, did you have a good Christmas? Not always good, but we had a great Christmas. New Year's coming. I thought about it. I thought, what does God want to say to us on the last Sunday in December, the last Sunday of 2015? There's myriads of things that could come to your minds. I chose this one. I chose the fact that he wants us to remember him. He wants us to remember him. I mean, Jesus said at the beginning of the Lord's Supper, when he instituted that, he said, he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to the disciples saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He gave the disciples an opportunity back then to say, "I want you to do this on a regular basis. As often as you do it and remember me." So today, I believe God is saying, "I want you to remember me. I want you to remember me. Keep me uppermost in your mind. Remember me." Key thing for this year and for next. And I was talking to one of my pastor friends. He's a guy that I've sort of been mentoring this year. And he went on with a group of pastors to the US. It's organized and subsidized by a group of businessmen, and it gives them an opportunity to see different churches. So there's all these young pastors go over there. And I said to him, I said, what did God impress on you? Because he went to probably 14 or 16 of the bigger churches, and so you can be a bit dazzled with all the light stuff. And I said, what did God really impress upon you when you were there? And he thought a bit for a while, and he says, he said, God gave me a very clear picture early on. And he said, the picture involved him putting his thumb under my chin. Just put your thumb under your chin. Put your thumb under your chin, hold it there, and just put a bit of pressure on it. Now just look down. Pretty hard, isn't it? And he said, God really gave me that picture, and he said, in the midst of all the glitter, I want you to keep your head up. He said, I want you to keep remembering me. I want you to keep fixing your eyes on Jesus. Don't get too lost in all the good programs. Don't get lost in all the glitter and all the stuff that looks fantastic. Remember, 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 keep looking at Jesus. It's a good insight for us. In the midst of all that happens, it doesn't need to be glitter, it might be blah. Keep your head up. Keep remembering Jesus. Father, in the midst of all that's going on in our lives, even as I look around at people I know here, Lord, there's been some fantastic things happen, and there's been some awful things happen. There's pain and there's joy. And Father, I pray that as we just listen a bit to what you're saying to us today, that you would speak life into us. That you would remind us afresh of who you are. You remind us about what you've done in our lives and what you're wanting to do. Remind us of your goodness and your whole character. Father, we forget so easily. Speak into our lives today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the reality is we do forget. We forget too easily. And some of you have heard me share this story before, but there was these two old couples. Old is older than me, all right? Two old couples. And they had a meal at one of the couple's places. The end of the meal, the guys are sitting in the lounge room just having a chat. The women are in the kitchen just making a cup of tea. And one of the old blokes said to the other one, he said, "We went out for a meal last night to a restaurant." He said, "It would have to be one of the best restaurants I've ever been to in my life." The other guy said, what restaurant was it? And he said, "What's the name of that flower that's got a beautiful scent and it's got thorns on it?" And the other guy goes, "Rose?" He goes, "Oh, that's right." He said, "Hey, Rose, what was the name of that restaurant we went to last night?" So sometimes old age can be a reason that we forget. Sometimes it's just who we are. All the stuff that comes in, we forget certain things. Now, I got a daughter who's She's 24. She's studying at Regent College in Vancouver for a year. And it's a Bible college. She's studying all this stuff. And sometimes with all the stuff that's going on in my life and everything, I can get to the end of a day or even the next day or so, and I think, I haven't even thought about Tash for the last 24 hours. And you think, that's not very spiritual. I should be praying for her often. But it happens, doesn't it? We forget. We forget people. We forget things. I don't know how you remember things and how you remember to do things, but I put notes on the floor sometimes, you know, because I think I'll see it. Put a note there, you know, collect this or do this, and some nice person comes in and picks it up and puts it in the bin. I say, no, that's my reminder. Or you write it on your hand, or, you know, you have notes somewhere. It's just ways that we use because we forget. We forget so easily. I've got a number of notes on my office wall. They're not notes reminding me to do things, but they're notes that actually remind me of who I am and who God is. One is a little card that's got on it, 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5 loaves, 2 fish. And I like that because it reminds me of, I don't have to make the feast. I don't have to create the banquet. I offer God what I have, my half a sardine head, and he does what he wants and multiplies it. I've got another one there that says, when your memories become more exciting than your dreams, you've begun to die. We've got to keep dreaming. Memories are important, but we don't want to live in those all the time. I've got another one that says, park it and wonder. And that's because sometimes you get frustrated, you're worried, you get anxiety about stuff. And the park it and wonder for me says, okay, let's just see what God's story is going to look like here. Let's live in a bit of wonder here rather than living in the anxiety of the mess. Realize that, wait a minute, God can do some wonderful things here. So sometimes little statements like that that you might have stuck on your fridge or on your office or in your computer or on your desktop or whatever, just to remind you of anything, but to remind you of God. Remember God. Remember God. In my office, I've got a lot of photos on the wall. And people come in and they say, wow, I know what your priority is. It's people. I've got photos everywhere all over my wall. And you don't live in the experiences of them, but they remind you of experiences with people. And they remind you of people that are very special to you or that you've been through ministry with. Like Liz Roberts. You know, I've got one of her with some of the kids on the wall because it reminds me to pray for her. We can use those. We can use these things to remind us. But the essential thing in all of this is that we remember God. Keep the head up. Okay, when you find your head starting to droop, just put the thumb there. Keep the head up. Remember God. We've got to find ways when we can keep remembering God. You know, this year we've been going through the story. Some of you that haven't been here might know what that is, but it's basically we've been doing an overview of the Old Testament. And often in the Old Testament, God realizes that the people are forgetting him. The Israelites are forgetting him. So sometimes he'd raise up prophets. And the whole role of the prophet was to keep God before the people. Wherever it was, their role was to keep God before the people. Don't forget God. Keep God there. Keep talking about God. Keep reminding the people, this is your God. This is what he's done. Trust him. We read in other places in Deuteronomy 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them. When you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And so even back then he's saying, here's some ways that you will remember God. Talk about me. Talk about what God has done with your kids. Remind them, because they weren't there. Tell them what he did. Put them around your head. Tie them to your finger. Write them on your walls. Write them on your doorposts. so that we will remember. And the thing is that to remember God, God is for you. He's not against you. He doesn't always do things that you want him to do on the times when you want him to do them, but he's for you. And so when God says, I want you to remember me, it's so that you will experience life, because God is about life. It's always about life. It's always about experiencing life and blessing and encouragement and grace and mercy. It's always about that. Numbers 15, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you'll remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves. Fairly strong word there. Not prostitute yourselves by chasing after the lust of your own eyes, of your own hearts and eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands and will be consecrated to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So here again, he's saying, I want you to actually, on every garment, just put a tassel on there. We have a family of tassels here, by the way. There's Luke up here before. But don't put one of them on there. Put a tassel with a blue cord in it. I was talking to one lady in the break, and she said, we just bought a bedspread, and it's got a blue tassel off each corner. How spiritual is that, she said. I said, fantastic. She said, every time I go to bed, I'll remember now. I'll remember God. I said, fantastic. And pray for me when you do. Once again, he's saying, remember all the commands of the Lord that you might obey them. So remembering God, remembering what he said, when you look at these tassels on your garments, so that you'll do what he says. Now, remember, God is not a hard taskmaster who's mean-spirited. And you've got to obey him. He's saying, I want to bless you. I want to pour lavishly into you. I want to give to you. So remembering him, obeying him, means you'll experience more of God. So you don't want to shut the door on that. You don't want to shut the shop on that. Remember God. Remembering means obeying. Don't rob yourself of all that God has for you. Don't rob yourself. Remember God. To remember is to obey. Joshua chapter 4, Joshua leads the people through the Jordan. And God said to him, when you do this, Joshua, when you lead them through, I want you to get each tribe, 12 tribes, get a rock, a big rock out of the Jordan River, and I want you to set up a memorial. And then when you pass by that, tell everyone that when you pass by what I've done. When your kids say, what's that pile of rocks there? What's that set up for? You tell them what I've done. So God knew the Israelites would forget and prostitute themselves after other gods. He knew that. But he gave them specific ways to remember him. Prophets, tassels and ribbons, write your name on your doorpost, talk about it when you see the memorials. We've got to have these. Not the same type of ones, but we've got to be able to do that. But like the Israelites, we've got so many things on our minds. We forget God or we ignore him. We forget he's at work, we forget his character, we forget he's good, we forget he's for us, we forget his love for us. Not all the time, but we get distracted. We forget that he's on our side. You know, we always need to be reminded that God is on our side. He's for us. You know, some of the benefits of remembering God, as I said, it keeps you in a place of experiencing him. It realigns us, gives us a different perspective. I remember, okay, God is God. I don't have to worry. I'm not God. He's God. Gives you peace. There's the possibility of peace comes into your life. If I stress, anxious, drill down. Peace. When I remember God, when I actually go to him, there's a possibility of peace comes in. I think the other thing that comes in as a benefit is hope. You know, Jesus personifies hope. Whenever God is in the picture, there's hope. And guess what? God's always in the picture. There's always hope. You know, one of my favorite verses is Romans 15:13, which basically talks about May the God of hope, that's who he is, he's a God of hope. May he fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, you remembering God is not just for your benefit. It's for the overflow. It's for the other people in your world who are in a dark place, or who are ignoring God, or rebelling against God. It's so they get a fresh look at who this God is. There are huge benefits in remembering God. You know, I was walking my dog the other morning. It was about 6 a.m. I'm walking along my street about 4 houses up from where I live. And there's a family that live in this particular house, great family. Don't see them that often. But the young guy, he's about 24, 25. He's staggering out to go to work and he's got his boots in his arms. And a typical situation where you think, this guy's late. You know, he's got his boots in his arms and he's walking out barefoot. And I said, hey, Andrew, how you going? And he looks at me and he goes, oh, late for work, you know. He gets in the car and I said, well, have a great day, mate. Have a great day. And he drives off and I walk down the park with my dog. I get a text later on that day from my daughter-in-law who went to school with this guy at Coma High. And she says, I got a text from Andrew today. I just want to give it to you. And the text said, I'm not saying this to blow my trumpet. I'm just saying this is the overflow that can happen. The text said something like this. Hey, Kendall, how you going? I haven't seen you for a while. He said, I'm going to work this morning, and I got chatting to Brett's dad. Brett's my son. That's I'm her father-in-law, obviously. Got chatting to Brett's dad. And he said, I was feeling shocking. I just stubbed my toe, and I was limping along. I'm carrying my boots. I'm late for work. And your father-in-law wanders along, and he said, very sincerely and genuinely, hey, Andrew, how you going? And he said, I wasn't real flash, actually. He said, I'm about to get in the car. And he says to me, he's saying this in the text. He says to me, have a great day, Andrew. And then he walks off and he said, I thought about that. And he said, it put a smile on my face. And he said, the smile was on my face for the whole day. And I'm thinking, 6 seconds of connection? Puts a smile on this guy's face for the whole day? He then said, I reckon your in-laws are the best people in the world. What a winner. 6 seconds. Far out. Now, I'm not saying that I spent 3 hours praying before I went for a walk, but I do ask God for divine appointments every day. I pray that the Spirit will lead me. Now, I didn't think, oh, okay, now I've got to spiritually connect. It was just the overflow. As I say, it's for all of us. Not just me because I'm good at this or anything. But the overflow touched him. The more we remember God, the more we intentionally are reminded of who God is and what he's doing, the overflow brings joy to people. And therefore, it helps people who might not even be interested to be curious. So I guess the question is, what helps you to remember God? Not just, oh yeah, God. What helps you to remember who God is, what he's done? Obviously, coming together like this is one way. It's great to come together. Never, ever give up the habit of meeting together, it says. Because it's about encouragement. It's about reminding us of who God is. We're brought to a place where we remember God. I find with God's character, I try and intentionally speak that out or sing out songs of that so I remember his character. You know, my daughter, about 5 years ago, it must have been when I was giving her a hard time, I think, because she wrote a note and put it on my office wall at home just above where I sit. And it said something like, over everything, Lord, you reign. And I think it was for my benefit that she put it there. Over everything, Lord. She knows I worry a bit. Over everything, Lord, you reign. And so every time I sit there, I think of her, but I also think of that. It reminds me of God who reigns. I am the God who reigns. I am the supreme Lord God Almighty. I don't know how you're going to remember God. But we have to build in things that will cause us to remember God. You know, the Word of God is important in my life. I hope it's important in your life. It's fresh bread every morning, every day, every afternoon, every evening. It's fresh bread for you. You know, I sometimes compare it with a newspaper. Do you always feel enticed when there's a newspaper there to read it? I do. And having read some of it, I think, what the heck? That was a waste of time. Nothing in there that was of any value. Except maybe a gossip story. I thought, oh, that's interesting. Whereas the Word of God, there's always something, but it's not something you always think, oh, I'm looking forward to jumping into the Word this morning. Sometimes I go to the Word with, well, God, you better give me something this morning. And I go and I read, and sure enough, something jumps out that reminds me of who He is. That's a question to ask whenever you read the Word. Just say, God, remind me of who You are today. Reveal Yourself to me here. So it's not about me, it's about God. But reveal Yourself to me out of the Word. I find prayer is important. I find singing and worship is important. I love to just burst out in song sometimes. My wife, when we were touring around one place one time, she says, you just come out with weird songs at weird times. Why do you do that? I said, because I'm excited. They're not all worship songs, but it's just, that's something I do. In the car, I do the same. If I find I start to get a bit low in the car, if I'm by myself in the car anyway, I just burst out in song, a praise song, a worship song. Majesty, worship is majesty, whatever it might be. It reminds me of God and who He is. Got to have some of those things in place. We've talked about and been on spiritual retreats this year. Some of you might think, a spiritual retreat? Oh, it's the last thing I want to be on. 2 days of sort of looking at your navel. No, it's not that. It's about listening to God, giving space where you're not cluttered to listen to God and hear what He's speaking into your life. It's amazing what God says when we give Him space. I find they're fantastic. For me, thanksgiving is important because it forces me to remember what God has done. So if I'm feeling like a bear with a sore head or a bit anxious, I just write out a thank list. And I pray through it. Thank You, Lord, for, you know, it doesn't have to be something huge, just the little things. That's what God was saying to the Israelites. Tell them what I've done. Remember what I've done. Remember me. Give thanks. I mean, the Bible talks about give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Got to do it. Not because you'll get zapped if you don't, but because what it does is it brings me to a different place, a different perspective place. It realigns me with what God is on about and who He is. Thanksgiving is crucial. Rejoicing, all that sort of stuff. A crisis. A crisis is often a time when we remember God. Sometimes we get frustrated with God at times of a crisis. Sometimes it's a time when God comes very close. Because it's like, God, help me, I'm in deep trouble here. Talking to a lady recently, about a month and a half ago, and she had possible cancer. You know, they'd found some lumps or some growths, and it was that 2 or 3 week time between finding and testing and results coming back. And she said, this is what's happening, I'm not worried, we're going through tests. And then she said to me a few weeks ago, she said, you know, it's benign, it's okay. She said, in that period of time of uncertainty, I experienced God in amazing ways. Now, she wasn't angry and bitter about God. She was just saying, God, I trust You. I trust You. And God ministered in some amazing ways. She said, it was an incredible difference. The day after I found out it was okay, I felt I'd moved spiritually a little bit to a bit more blasé. And she said, I don't want to be there. I want to be back where I was, experiencing the reality of God. She says, I'm very aware of that. You see, when we're running well, it's okay to say, oh, thank You, Lord. Off we go, doing our own thing. However it is, you've got to remember God for your benefit and for other people's. You know, when God has done things, when He's done miracles in your life or in someone you've been praying for, tell people about it. You know, when you hear Liz Roberts share those stories, I find it inspiring. I've been to where she ministers on a number of times, and she inspires me. She's the Apostle Paul. It's unbelievable what she goes through up there, and the opposition, and what God does. But you haven't been there. Some of you have. But you hear the stories, and you might think, oh, that's good. Or, that's in Indonesia. It's not in my life. I'm just Peter Pleb type thing. It's like, what's God going to do in my life? It's the same God. Same God. So when the miracles happen, tell people. Tell people what God has done. Because it encourages others to remember God. And to be excited about who God is and what he's done. You know, I was... two Saturdays ago, I live in Kensington. I was driving along Douglas Avenue, just in Kensington, and there was a home open sign. And I thought, oh, I'll go and check that out. But by the time I decided to, I'd passed the street. I thought, ah, no, I won't worry about it. But then there was a bit of a gnawing away to, yeah, go and have a look at it. So about two streets up, I just turn and come back, and I come in from the other side and pull up. And I'm the first one there. I just go into this home, and it's a brand new home. And I got chatting to the guy who was doing the real estate stuff, and I'm chat for about 5 or 10 minutes, had a look around. I walk out the door just as the lady walks into the door. So we're standing in the door, and she says, hi, David, how are you going? I'm thinking, great, but I'm thinking, I know you, but I don't know your name. I've forgotten. And she said, let's call her Jill. She said, oh, Jill. I said, oh, that's right. What's your surname? And, oh, that's right, you live so-and-so, and you... She comes along here from time to time. And we chat about things. And then she just sort of... We're standing in the doorway. No one else had come at this point. So she just sort of ushers me outside around the corner a bit. And she said, look, I just want to thank you and the church for praying for me and my daughter and for my daughter. She said, it was about 9 months ago. She said, my daughter was really sick and we thought we were going to lose her. But through another lady from our church who was connected with them, this other lady said, look, I'll get the church praying. I'll get the church praying. And she said, I just want you to know that the next day after you started praying, she was healed. And part of me is thinking, this happened in February or March, and you're telling me now? I want to hear these things on the track, you know? And she said, yeah, every time I've been at church, I've been going to tell you, but you've been busy and all this sort of stuff. I don't even remember praying. It was a fair while ago. It was another prayer on the prayer list type thing. But you prayed. Someone here prayed. That girl was healed. And God wanted me to know that. It wasn't about going to watch a home or see a home open. It was about meeting this person at that place at that time. That helps me to be reminded of God is at work. It reminds me of God. It helps me to remember God. So when we use the phrase remember God or remember Jesus, it's not just pie in the sky type stuff. It's about this is what he's doing also. This is what he's done. This is who he is. Remember him. Remember him. Remember him. You know, the good thing about remembering is that God knows and remembers you. You're on his mind. And you're not on his mind from a negative perspective. You're on his mind from a positive perspective. He loves you dearly. Loves you dearly. He's got a picture of you on his mantelpiece. And he looks at that and he says, this is my child. Look at him. I just find it great in Romans 8, where it says that the Holy Spirit prays for us with groaning, prays for us. And it says later on in Romans 8 that Jesus intercedes for us as well. How good is that? You are on God's mind. He never forgets you. You are his delight. You might not feel it at times, but he is delighted in you. He is always remembering you. Never, ever forgets you. I mean, we share in communion. We remember Jesus dying on the cross. We're reminded of that often. But don't ever lose the impact of that. That demonstration of God's love in Jesus giving his life for us. It's a beautiful thing. And I think of the thieves on the cross. Jesus is there And the two thieves on either side, one is just berating Jesus as to what he should do to get us off there. And the other one says, wait a minute, this guy's done nothing wrong. And he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus looks at him and he says, today you shall be with me in paradise. Remember me. And the action was, yes, you're mine. You're his. He remembers you. He remembers you. You know, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you might think, well, wait, does this apply for me? It certainly does. Jesus Christ loves you dearly. And he wants you to experience the reality of his love and the reality of his presence, the reality of his goodness and mercy and grace. So he wants you to say, God, I give you my life. Give you my life. If you're not in Christ this morning, I'd love you to see the last Sunday of 2015 as a watershed time for you when you say, I'm not going to rebel anymore. I'm not going to ignore you. I'm going full bore with you. If you're in Christ and you've been ignoring or rebelling against God, then today is a day where you can say, this is a watershed time. I'm going to actually say, no, today I'm moving. I'm going this direction. I'm going this direction. Now, the writer of the Hebrews in Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, remembering Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. For the joy that he knew was coming, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then the writer says, consider him, remember him who endured such sinful opposition so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see, the more we focus on Jesus, the more we remember him, the less likely we are to grow weary and lose heart. Father, I thank you so much for what you've done in our lives. I thank you so much for the cross work of Jesus. I thank you for each person here. Lord, you know them well. You know that the challenges this year has been. You know the good things. And I pray so much that you would give them hope. Give each person here hope as they face the future. Give them a sense of thankfulness and gratitude. Remind them afresh of who you are and how much you love them. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to share in communion now. So those that are handing out the communion, if you can bring it forward. Luke 22:19, I'll read that again. The Last Supper, Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. He gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So as you share in communion now, do it in remembrance of Jesus. It's an ongoing sacrament he gave us so that we would remember him. So enjoy Jesus today. Enjoy the Lord as we share in communion. God bless you guys.